chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll commence reading at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. Hebrews 10 and verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now God will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Now we're very glad that you have come along tonight, and we're here on this day that is called Good Friday, not just to go through some ritual, but we're here so that this might be a Good Friday for you. And if you were to be reached and saved tonight, this would be the greatest night in all your experience. And it's very, very possible, because you know we're living in a day of grace. And God, our God, is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And we know that there is salvation for each one in this meeting tonight. And remember how the Lord Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, he gathered the disciples around him, and he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Now, the reason that he sent them out to every creature is this. Number one, every creature needs God's salvation. There's not one of us here tonight that was born in the road to heaven. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the reason he sent them out to them all was not only that they were all sinners, but that there was salvation for all. So we are assured on the authority of the Word of God that there is salvation for you in this meeting tonight. Now, we have read words where it says, "Every priest standeth daily ministering, and oftentimes offering the same sacrifices, which could never take away sins." But then, in contrast to that priest in Israel of old, well, we have another man, and it says, "But this man," and this is the man that we want to introduce you to tonight. This is the man, Christ Jesus, the priest of Israel. He couldn't sit down. His work was never finished. And he couldn't stop offering sacrifices. And he often had to repeat time and time again the same sacrifices. But the Word of God tells us that they couldn't take away sins. And after all, that's really what the gospel is about. The gospel is the glad message of salvation, how that those sins of yours can be put away. It's those sins of yours that are taking you right down to hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. And we would not dare to preach like this if we were not doing it on the authority of the Word of God. But the Word of God tells us that there's not only a heaven, but there is a hell. And sad to say, souls are slipping out into eternity, day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute. And we don't know who the next one will be. But if you miss God's salvation, we can tell you this, you're going to be in that awful place. And I'm glad that I'm not going to be there, because the Lord himself said it's a place where there's weeping and there's wailing and there's gnashing of teeth. It's a place of torment, where one man wanted just a little drop of water to cool his tongue, where he said, "I am tormented in this flame." And usually when we read those words, the words of the Lord, we think of something that happened about 2,000 years ago. But I would like you to think of it right now in this meeting tonight, because you remember how the Lord said to the man in heaven, to Lazarus, he says, "Now he is comforted." And right now, while we preach in this meeting tonight, there's a man called Lazarus, and he's up in heaven, and Lazarus is comforted. But right while we preach the gospel in this meeting tonight, sad to say, dear friend, there's a man that's right down in hell. And he's still looking for a little drop of water to cool his tongue. He said, "I'm tormented in this flame." And he's still tormented in the flames of hell. Oh, dear friend, could we not urgently speak to you tonight and ask you to consider these things? This is the most important issue that you'll ever face in all your life. the issue of those sins of yours that are dragging you right down to the depths of a burning hell. Now, there's no one except the Lord Jesus Christ can put away sin. That's what we were reading together. Even all those sacrifices, although the person that brought them realized that he was a sinner, the fact that he brought the sacrifice could never put away sin. But we're glad that we can tell you tonight that all those Old Testament sacrifices were pointing forward to something far greater. We have priests in Israel standing daily, but we have a personal Savior, and he's called this man. And this man is different from every other man. There never was a priest in Israel like this man. This man is the eternal Son of God. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us God spoke in fragmentary ways and at different times through the prophets unto the fathers. But he says, in these last days he hath spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The one who before he came into the world was the heir of all things, the eternal Son of God, who came into the world in love to that soul of yours, and so that those sins of yours could be put away. So we're here tonight to tell you about a man who is different from every other man, the eternal Son of God, who in love to your soul and in love to my soul came into the world for a definite purpose. And we read, not only this man, but after he had offered one sacrifice. The priest of old offered many sacrifices, but they could never put away sins. But this man offered one sacrifice. A price was paid on Calvary that was final. He offered one sacrifice. It doesn't need to be repeated. And even though you may know, as most of us did before God saved us, that Christ died on the cross, up until now you've never really known why he died. Oh, why was he there as the bearer of sin if on Jesus my guilt was not laid? Or why from his side flowed that sin-cleansing blood, if in dying my debt was not paid? Dear friend, we're here to tell you that there's a God in heaven who loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his Son to the cross at Calvary. And we're glad that we can tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work. And there's absolutely nothing that you have to do or that you can do to add to that work. I know there are many people in the world, and maybe some here in this meeting tonight, and you would do anything to get God's salvation. And whilst that's good in a way, the sad thing is you can't do enough to get God's salvation. There's absolutely nothing that you can do. You're forever too late. For this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. You see, the work was finished. The priest could never sit down, but here's one who sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on High. He went to the cross at Calvary. He suffered agonies untold. And when I think of this man, I think not only that he was different from every other man, but he was different from every other sacrifice. You see, there never was an Old Testament sacrifice that went voluntarily to the altar. They all had to be taken to the altar. Probably some would balk and they would hold back, but they had to draw them to the altar. And there's not one Old Testament sacrifice that ever suffered. The suffering in the Old Testament is depicted after the sacrifice is slain, where the sin offering was burned without the camp, the awful fire of God's wrath fell upon it, and that speaks of the sufferings. But you see, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ was before he died on the cross at Calvary. And the death was not a sign of defeat, but his death simply shows us that all the suffering is over, that all the price is paid. And you remember how on the cross he said, "It is finished." The price paid in full, so that you can do nothing. That's the glad tidings of the gospel. You don't have to do a thing. Before God saved me, I knew that works couldn't save, but still I seemed to be thinking that I had to figure the whole thing out. And that could never save me either, because in one way that really is a work. But I'm glad that I found this man, the Savior. And not only this man, but I can tell you he's my Savior tonight. We speak whereof we know. This is something that we have experienced. We can look back to the time when we saw that the Lord Jesus permanently paid that great price, and afterwards he sat down. But what does it say he did? He put away sins. Now, the value of the work of the cross is sufficient to put away every sin. It's sufficient to put away your sins. That's the truth of what we call propitiation. It means that the work of Christ satisfied the throne of God so that salvation can come out to everyone. But there's another great truth in the Word of God, and that is the truth of substitution. I remember a young Englishman that I knew, and he and some others, they went down outside the soccer stadium in Luton in England, and they preached the gospel to the people coming in. And this young man, of course, like most young men, he thought he had really a message that would fit these people coming in. You see, in soccer, nowadays when a person is injured, they bring on a substitute. So he spoke about the substitute, and he told them how there was a substitute sitting there on the line, ready to go in. But afterwards, there was an old brother, Mr. Cundig. He went to him and he said, "You know, Robert, you're not just preaching that right. Because, you know," he said, "that man really isn't a substitute while he's sitting on the line. He's only a substitute when he takes the other person's place." And that's the glad tidings of the gospel tonight, dear friend. The Lord Jesus Christ died so that he might be your substitute. And everyone who has been saved by the grace of God can look back to that time and say he not only put away sins by the sacrifice of himself, but he put away my sins. How about it for you tonight? Can you say that truthfully? Can you look back to a definite time in your life when the Lord Jesus Christ, when you realized that he put away your sins, that he paid the price not only for all the world, but he paid the price for me? I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. And in love to my soul, he went to the cross at Calvary and he paid the price for me. And there's none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found the sheep that was lost. And the hymn writer says, "I wonder what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony." I really don't know. What could he ever see in a poor sinner like me? What could he ever see in you? I was a sinner who rejected the gospel year after year after year until I was 33 years of age, heard the gospel many, many times and rejected it. And yet there was one who loved me. He knew that I would reject the gospel. He knew that I would turn a deaf ear to him. He knew that I would be the prodigal, or like the prodigal that we were singing about. And yet he still loved me. And he loved me so much that he went to the cross at Calvary and he paid the great price in precious and drops of precious blood. Oh, dear friend, there's nothing in you or in me to commend us to God, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I'm glad that I know he died for me. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. But not only did he pay that price for sins, that sins could be put away, but he was raised from the dead, and he has ascended through the heavens. And we read in verse 13 of a preliminary act, it says, "He's seated at the right hand of God from henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstool." And that tells me that the Lord's coming back. The Lord Jesus is in heaven, physically. There's a man in the glories of heaven. But he's not going to stay there forever. He's coming back. And these words that we have read tell us that he's coming back to reign. He's coming when his enemies will be made the footstool of his feet. But before that comes, the Lord is going to come for his own. That's the truth that we call the rapture, the snatching away. The Lord is coming, and the Lord could come tonight. There's not one prophecy that has to be fulfilled ere the Lord comes from heaven. The only one that had to be fulfilled was this. He told Peter how he was going to die. And Peter's body has been in the grave almost 2,000 years. So the coming of the Lord is very, very near. And because of this, dear friend, and we want to emphasize this, you not only need God's salvation, but you need God's salvation now. You'll never gain anything by putting off God's salvation. And the biggest regret in my life is that I didn't go in for salvation long before I did. My biggest regret is that I wasted all those years out in the pleasures of the world and found no lasting pleasure in them. But thank God, now my heart is satisfied because I have found this glorious person, the one who has gone into heaven and the one who's coming back. Now verse 14 tells me that he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And I just want to preach now the fact that salvation is something that's eternal. He has perfected eternally those that have been set aside through being saved by the grace of God. You know, when God saved me, I wasn't really all that sure. I often tell it, and I never tire telling it. You know, I like the month of March. I don't know about you. The month of March, not because Easter's in March this year. I like coming to the conference too. But you know, some people say, well, March is St. Patrick's Day. Well, that doesn't mean anything. I was married. My wife and I were married in the month of March. And that's something a little better. But you know, there's something greater than that. Because it was on March the 10th, 1966, that my wife and I were saved by the grace of God. As I mentioned before, there's no one born in the way to heaven. We're all born sinners and we all need God's salvation. And we need to have a time that we can look back to, a definite time and experience in our lives. We may not know the time on our watch or the date on the calendar, but we'll never forget that great transaction that was completed in that day. And I remember my wife and I, we went to bed and we were talking and I asked her a question. And I'd like to ask you the same question here in this meeting tonight. I said, Margaret, do you think that you're ever going to be in heaven? Now, how about it, dear friend? Do you think you'll ever be in heaven? Well, I hope you would answer maybe as she did. She said, well, I hope that someday I'll end up in heaven. Good thing to really want to be in heaven. After all, surely there's no one wants to end up in hell and the lake of fire forever. Well, I told her quite plainly. I said, you know, you could lay your head on the pillow tonight and you could die in your sleep. And you would be down in the depths of hell. And then I turned over and went to sleep. But you see, she couldn't sleep. And she thought, if I lay my head on the pillow and I die, I'd be right down in hell. There's only one other thing I remember saying to her that night. And that was quoting a lovely verse from the Word of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, you know, she started to pray. And she said, Lord, save Bill, that's me. She said, save Bill, and maybe when he gets saved, he can help me to get saved. She thought I knew a little bit more about it than she did because of my upbringing in a Christian home. Well, you know, after a while, she thought, I'm not getting very far with this prayer. And she realized, well, after all, I'm the one that's lost. I'm the one that needs God's salvation. Good thing to know that as an individual, you are the one that needs God's salvation. So she asked God to show her how she could get this salvation. Have you ever asked God that question? You know, if you do, I believe with all my heart that God will show you. God wants to save you. He's a Savior God. And she asked God to show her how she could get this salvation. And then God showed her. How did He show her? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And she could see in John 3:16, through the truth of that lovely golden text, that God loved her and He gave His Son for her. And since she believed in Him, she wouldn't perish, but she had everlasting life. She thought, I'll wake Him up and see what he thinks about it. But then she thought, if I wake him up, this was 2:30 in the morning, he'll never sleep again. Tonight, that is. And she was right. So the next morning, she said, you know, I believe I got saved last night. She said, do you think I'm saved? And I said, well, what happened? She told me. And I often say, well, you know, I told her I'm not an expert in these things, and I'm still not an expert. But I said, you could be saved. And I went to work, and I couldn't work. I thought, here's my wife saved. I thought, if I get saved, how am I going to live with this unsaved wife? But now you see, God took that away. God saved her when she found out that Christ died for her, that he took her place on the cross at Calvary. And after a while in the afternoon, about 2 o'clock, I went to a place where I was all alone. And I said, Lord, I'm not leaving this place until I get this matter settled. And the more I thought about it, the more muddled I became. And maybe there's someone like that in the meeting tonight. Maybe you know the scriptures and you've thought about them. But the more you think, the more hopeless the whole situation seems to be. But you know, I remembered something that I read in the Word of God. The entrance of the Word giveth light. And I remember reading about the Apostle Peter walking on the water, and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord stretched forth his hand and caught him. And I said, Lord, I'm just like Peter. I'm sinking. And there's absolutely nothing that I can do. I'm sinking right down to the depths of a burning hell. And that's where I deserve to be. I have rejected thy Son. I've sinned against thee. And if I got what I deserved, I'd be down in a burning hell. But you know, I remembered what Peter did. He said, Lord, save me. And all of a sudden, I could see that Christ was the Savior. Peter didn't try to save himself. He said, Lord, save me. And I found out that Christ is the Savior and that I'm the sinner and that the sinner can do nothing. And God asks the sinner to do absolutely nothing. But the Lord Jesus Christ did it all. And right there in that place where I worked down in the city of Detroit, I found out that Christ died for me, that he took my place, that he was the Savior who has done everything. And I trusted him there and then. But you know, as I say, we weren't all that sure. We weren't attending gospel meetings. So I went home that night and I asked my wife another question. You think I question her all the time? Well, I still do once in a while. I said, do you still think you're saved? She said, I know I'm saved. Well, how do you know? How could anyone ever know that they were saved? This is such an important thing. Great thing to be saved, but something far greater to be saved and to know it. How could a person know? Well, she said, I got down a Bible and I opened it. And she said, it opened in the book of Lamentations. And maybe you might think you couldn't get much there, but some of the most beautiful verses to us are in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. I cried unto thee out of the low dungeon. Hide not thine ear at my breathing at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou hast redeemed my life. How did she know? She knew because God told her in his word. And that's the only way that anyone will ever know that they have God's salvation. If we were to tell you, we could make a mistake, or we could be gone tomorrow and you would be in doubts maybe the rest of your life. But if God tells me that's all that I need, and I have it on the Word of God, I know I'm saved. I knew I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner because God says it in His Word. I know I'm saved because God tells me that Christ died for the ungodly. And I'm the ungodly sinner, and I'm just simple enough to take it in that He died for me. How do I know that's what saves? As many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. How about it for you tonight? That whosoever believeth in him, God says. I can't repeat these words, but thinking of our dear brother Jack Noble. Man, I love dearly. And that's the way he used to read those lovely gospel verses. He would just stop and say, God says. That's the important thing. God says, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, how about it for you tonight? Are you willing, are you manly enough or womanly enough to take the place of the sinner and come to the Savior? This man, the one who came into the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and the one who finished the work so that there's nothing that you need to do but trust him. Claim him as your Savior. And God says, if you believe on him, if you know that he died for you, you won't perish but have everlasting life.